All right, welcome to the Open Notes podcast with the Fort Collins Symphony. I'm Jeremy and I'm here with Ju Wong. Ju, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you're playing Rachmaninoff with us in just a couple of weeks. Could you give us an introduction of who you are? We want to meet you today.
I'm 27 years old, and originally was born in China, and now I'm living in New York City, pursuing my master's degree at the Juilliard School with Mr. Emmanuel Ax and Miss Robert McDonald.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you. And you were at Curtis previously, and now you're at Juilliard. So you're just getting the best schools under your belt.
I feel very, very fortunate to be studying and to feel inspired every day. And yeah, so and I'm so excited to play one of my favorite concertos with Fort Collins Symphony.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back to the Rachmaninoff for sure. How did you start playing? What were your early musical experiences?
I started playing piano at around age of five. I mean, my grandfather, he was a high school music teacher, and he was so passionate about classical music, and unfortunately, during his young age, he didn't have the condition and resources to really learn an instrument. So he learned by himself, when he had the time when he was older. But he wanted me to pursue an instrument as a hobby at the beginning. So he had an electronic keyboard at his apartment that every time I visited him, that I will play around, I will play a few notes, and somehow my grandfather thought maybe he has the talents, and so he convinced my parents that I should, buy a upright piano, and so he supported us, he got me an upright piano for my 5th year old birthday as a birthday present, and that was how everything started for me. And once I'm on this musical path, I fell in love with it immediately and never really looked back or anything.
I love that you were just playing around with it and you were experimenting with the keyboard before you actually went in it for real. That's so great.
Yeah. I think music for me is always something that I found a tool to express myself, and especially when I get older, I found there's that connection that I can build with the instrument, that I can really tell a story and send a message, to the audience. And I found that's so powerful and so profound.
Yeah, I love that. I love send a message.
Yeah.
Then you kept playing. You went obviously you went to school. You became a professional, and now you're traveling and you're playing concertos with orchestras like Fort Collins Symphony.
Yes, I think I was about 12 years old when I find my first, I think, professional teacher that in Hong Kong when I was doing a competition, and I wasn't really up for it, so I didn't get any prize from that competition, but that teacher was sitting on the jury at the time, and he wanted me to study with him, and I remember after the competition, he just ran into my parents and I in the lobby of the competition, and in the hall, and he introduced himself, and he wanted me to go study with him in Shanghai Conservatory of Music, and he think I'm very, very talented, and I should pursue it very seriously, and it's something that I never really thought about before. I didn't think I would be able to have the chance to pursue it in a professional level. So but that was a pivot moment, I think. Now I look back, and I'm very grateful for that, for all the opportunities and the people and the teachers, who had helped me along the way. Yeah.
What was the biggest thing that you learned from them?
I think one of the biggest things I learned. Wow, that's a great question. It becomes overwhelming, a lot of
Yeah.
information just suddenly. I will say one of the biggest lessons that I learned is, first of all, is from that teacher, from that teacher from Shanghai. The most important lesson for me to learn is to make the piano sing, and to make the piano sound like a voice, so not just a percussive instrument. And he wanted me to really somehow sustain a melody, you know, because for piano, once you press a key, the sound just decays dramatically. And so that's really relies on the pianist's craftsmanship to how to sustain a note and how to shape a melody, all sorts of things, you know, because I think once you can get that, once you can get that, you know, singing sound, and I think everything will just sound so much more beautiful and more appealing. And that concept for me was eye-opening. And so that was the biggest lesson that for me at that age. And now you know, when I study with teachers, for example, Mr. X and Mr. McDonald, I have so much to learn now. I realize, you know, outside of music, you know, and not just piano playing, but how to be a generous and a kind and a giving person, you know, that is constantly trying to offer the best that is contributing to the society, or you know, outside of music, you know, something that is more meaningful that I can apply, not just in, you know, piano playing. So there are so many things that I can relate, but I think to put in a brief way, I think that is something I've learned.
Yeah, we've got a special privilege as musicians to be able to reach people and connect. We get to make beautiful music, but that music gets to do something else for other people.
And especially when I go to like a high school or something that, you know, I didn't think when you bring music to a community and maybe they don't have that accessibility to classical music. And when you suddenly play music that they never heard before, and they've, I think one of the best experiences is just you see how much they got attracted to it, and you know, and to offer that experience to other people, I feel make me feel hard, make me heart feel grateful. And yeah, that's one of the, I think at my age, you know, getting older and becoming more experienced in the field, and that to have that ability and to do such things, I feel is really, really great.
I've got a silly question for you. Is it important to go see music live, or can we just listen to recordings?
They're both important. I like to go listen to old recordings, you know, and I found that there's nothing that is more personal that, you know, when you go hear artists like those legendary pianists from, you know, early 20th century. So when I was learning rock too, I listened to a lot of his own recording, you know, and I found that so inspiring, just you know, to hear all his timings, all his nuances is really there's nothing I can describe other than just you know, living through it. I hope I was there in the hall, you know, when was making the recording, but I'm so thankful for this technology. In the opposite, I feel it's also so important to hear live concert just because there's something that is not replaceable by hearing music live in the experience, or you know, or in the same space with the artists and performers. I still remember the first time I heard the Schubert Cello Quintet in C major. One of my favorite pieces, also Arthur Rubinstein's favorite music, is this piece. But anyway, but I was at a summer festival called Kneisel, the chamber music festival, in May, and that was the faculty concert. And when they started playing the slow movements, I don't know what happened, but there was just tears in my eyes, you know, and that kind of heavenly, beautiful opening, in a way, so beautifully suspense, but also just longing. You know, when Schubert was really writing his last piece of music, you know, when he was really seeing the end of his life, you know, what kind of message, you know, what kind of message he wanted to deliver. And I feel it's, there's nothing that's more powerful than hearing music, or, you know, it doesn't matter. But when it really matters, you know, when it really hit you, it's that powerfully, and it's just, you will remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Again, I thought that was going to be a silly, easy answer. Yeah, see music live. I really appreciate that. So right, let's talk about Rachmaninoff too, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Could you give our listeners kind of maybe the history of the piece or the context to go into it, and then maybe we can look at a couple specific things from the three movements.
Sure. I mean, Rachmaninoff, when before he wrote this piece, he wasn't very happy with his compositional career. I think he was already very successful as a pianist, you know, of course. I think he just premiered his first symphony or the second symphony, one of his symphonic works, and it wasn't very successful, and you know, get criticized being too long, you know, too indulgent, you know, and so that's why he wrote this second concerto, and it was immediate success. You know, I think he was a pianist. He premiered it, and somehow this piece just became the most popular piece of music, you know, in the history of classical music, and for good reasons, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was featured. This piece has been featured in movies, you know, and in all sorts of references outside of classical music world, and I think if you ask me, you know, any specific spots that I absolutely love is the slow movement, you know, and there's nothing that is more intimate, and it's more has that kind of emotionally message more powerful than the slow movement. And but of course, the drama, you know, in the music.
Of course.
So that's why we have this contrast and make it so great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll play some of the second movement. I mean, Rachmaninoff is just the best melodies. I mean, the gorgeous melodies. I don't know the second piano concerto well, but I know the second symphony very well. And the slow movement in there just gets my... Yeah, that's like one of the pieces I just sit and I have to be a part of. It's just so gorgeous. So we'll get to do that with the piano concerto.
Yes.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. Yeah. Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to share? You'll be with us Saturday, May 11th, 2024. We'll be live, and we'll also be live streaming the concert. Do you have any fun music stories?
I think something that is very sweet is, or very personal to me, is I played this piece at my graduation at Sarah Curtis, and I proposed to my wife after the and she was accompanying me on a second piano, and that was the last piece on the program. And after the concert, instead of giving a speech, you know, and I instead give a, I proposed, at the legendary.
Oh my God.
Field Hall of Curtis. And this video actually exists on YouTube. I think it still does. And but for anybody who is interested to see that moment, is there.
So and, you proposed. On stage still.
Yes, I proposed on stage of Curtis.
Were you more nervous about the recital or the proposal?
I think both, but because also first time I was playing that piece, performing live, and of course proposal, you know what I mean? So so that was a very special day, and so this piece has a very, very special I have very special memories with it, so Yeah, that's a very, very, very interesting and fun fact about my experience with Rock 2. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. Well, we're so excited to play it with you in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jude, thank you so much for your time. We'll see you very soon.
Yeah, thank you. See you very soon.
Thank you.